Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Get your sexy on.
You ready?
We are third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are Wednesday afternoon. This time we always talk to Tim Hasselbeck, and he's brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Tim, what's up?
Up.
Well, we've had
the victory, baby, midweek.
Say we're just doing our Titans post game show on a Wednesday, you know, typical stuff. Not in normal. 2020.
It does feel weird.
Are you one of those guys that now you're like, hey, I kind of like Tuesday night football. Maybe this should be a thing.
No. I think because I do college and pro football stuff for ESPN, I already feel like it's on too many nights of the week.
Fair.
So you don't think this is going to creep in anybody's mind in an NFL office of, you know what, Tuesday night wasn't so bad?
Oh, I think that they would love to own every night.
You know? Right.
And so, you know, with a lot of the talk prior to college football being played, there was a lot of talk about Saturdays and Sundays because there wasn't going to be college football to watch on Saturdays. So, yeah, there's no doubt you want a captive audience, plain and simple. It's why, you know, Thursday night football, you know, even with the short week, guys are, you know, generally excited to play on it. Same thing with, you know, when you're the Sunday night game or Monday night football. So, you know, Tuesday at 6 locally, it was the best show on TV.
Yeah. No doubt about it. So where do you stand on this statement? Was this all about what the Titans did, or is this more about what the Bills didn't do, and maybe were the Bills – are the Titans a little better than we thought and the Bills not as good as we thought? How would you answer what we saw last night?
The Bills are good, plain and simple. The Bills are a good football team. They're a well-coached team. They're good defensively. They have a rising star at quarterback. That's a good football team. So I think it just speaks to the impressive nature of the win for the Titans. And, you know, look at it in listening to and reading some of the stuff that Ryan Tannehill, you know, had said, you know, prior to the game and then even after the game. I do think there was this element of kind of the uncontrollable with the virus and, you know, how people were viewing them, especially around the league, about stuff that was going on inside the Titans locker room and facility, how they've handled it, that type of stuff. But I would not be surprised if it created this focus for the football team to go out and play well. I really think that, you know, the human nature side of it really, I think, it kind of was showing itself in terms of how he answered a lot of questions about their situation.
You've got a unique perspective on this show because you played the game, so you've got the player's angle, and now you've been in the media for a good while, and you understand this angle just as well. So now that you're on this side and have been on this side for a good while, how do you explain kind of – because you know how this dynamic works. Look, Adam Schefter has a lot of really good sources within every organization, people within the walls. That's how he gets his information. Mike Florio is no different on NBC. These people on these national platforms like you have sources within walls, sources that know things. And then they get on those platforms like you're on and ESPN and they report that or social media. How did it go from 6 days ago? Boy, the Titans, all my sources are telling me the Titans have messed up big time. And the league is about to deliver the hammer on them. and this is what I'm being told from this person, this or not from this person, from my source within this organization, and blah, 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 blah. Like I said, these people talk to people who know. And here we are today, sitting here on the aftermath of a 42-16 win in the NFL, and the Titans are singing Kumbaya, and there's nothing to see here, and it looks like there's nothing to do, according to the league. How did we get to that 5-6 days later?
Well, I can tell you this, because I talked a lot with Adam and Mort last week, a lot. And, I did an interview with you guys last week with the knowledge of some of the stuff that was going to break, which, you know, basically broke, you know, immediately after, you know, my interview with you guys. And that feeling of like there was going to be a lot of punishment was universal. Universal. It wasn't just a local buzz. It wasn't just a national buzz. I mean, it was universal. Now, I will say, like, in talking to Adam and Mort, like, I don't think that there was ever this sense of, and I think both guys probably said as much to me, you know, in terms of forfeiture of games and things like that, like, I don't know that that was ever discussed by the league office. I don't know if that was ever a serious consideration. But I do think in terms of, following protocols and punishing the people in charge of being able to enforce the protocols, which really would fall on, Robinson and Vrabel, I think that the league was approaching it with the idea that if these guys weren't doing this right, then we need to make them know that that's not acceptable, and the rest of the league is going to be aware of it. I think in the process of them trying to figure everything out, and then also seeing, you know, what Tennessee was doing by comparison to what other teams around the league were doing, I think they realized that, like, yes, these are protocols, but they're not foolproof. And some of the things that are being asked to do to be 100% compliant with it may not be totally, totally realistic. Like, if you are going to eat in the facility, like, what does that look like? You know, and, yeah, we are going to say, you know, you're going to be contact traced, but what does that look like? And so I kind of alluded to what Ryan, you know, said about, you know, some of the situation. Look, if you don't have any symptoms and you're testing positive, and then you do have symptoms and maybe significant symptoms and are continue to repeatedly test negative, don't you lose a little confidence in the process? You have to. So I think there just became an understanding of how difficult this can be.
Was the biggest mistake the league made was letting the Titans and the protocols, because that allowed them to do that. It wasn't against league policy or protocols for them to get on that plane and go to Minnesota and play against the Vikings. Was that their biggest mistake early on in, you know, everybody trying to figure out what's the right and wrong ways to do things?
I mean, look, we still have no Minnesota players with a positive test, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so you can, and this is what we talked about last week, you can play a game. Like, you can clearly play a game and not infect people, playing actual football. Okay, so now it comes to, all right, traveling. Well, like, there has been a lot of information about being on an airplane. If you're wearing a mask and you're spread out, like, the spread in that environment is, like, there's not some added risk to that. So, and I think part of the, kind of the buzz and part of the things that were swirling and I think people are trying to figure out were, okay, was there a coach that was in close proximity that repeatedly was coming to work when he should have been in quarantine? You know, was there some knowledge of that? And, you know, and then part of what happened after that to kind of, you know, I guess continue with your previous question, Darren, was, okay, now guys are gathering. Like, were they aware that that was not, like, when were they made aware that that wasn't okay? And what's the limits to being able to gather? And, look, I think that that's really, we talked about this last week. Like, if you're in, we're going to keep pointing to the quarterback, but, like, if you're him, like, you're going to go 7 days not throwing a football?
right,
and then go play in an NFL game? Like, and so if you can't gather, who are you throwing to?
Well, along those,
trying
yeah,
to
no,
throw
that's...
it off, throw it through the old tire swing.
Yeah,
and that's all you need to do.
Yeah,
throw it to the kids.
Who's gonna retrieve it?
You got to go get it yourself.
Yeah. No. Okay. So along those lines, then let me get now your quarterback perspective. So you're from your playing days through your eyes. We've been talking about today in the first 2 hours this stat that CBS put out there, NFL on CBS, of comparing Tannehill and Mahomes in their last 14 games. They have identical records. They've thrown the same amount of picks. Tannehill's thrown more touchdowns. He's got a higher quarterback rating, and Mahomes is thrown for like 600 more yards. That's it. And so you could technically look at those stats and say, and by the way, they're both 11-3, that Tannehill's been the better quarterback. What are you seeing? That why has it worked so well? Was it just a complete failure on the Dolphins' part, and it's more about their organization? Why you always hear, you know, change of scenery can change this guy, but how many times has that really happened? Well, in this one, this may be the poster child for that. So why has it turned out that way here?
Yeah, I think that it's really important to have an awesome relationship between the quarterback and the play caller. I think guys have to see things the same way. And, you know, so sometimes you're fortunate to go into a situation where, you know, you're sharing a brain on stuff and you see it the same way. And so I think, you know, for Ryan, he's ended up in a situation where that's clearly the case with Arthur Smith. And it's really important. And I think that to look at how it went for him in Miami, I think he had 17 starts coming out of college. So, you know, he was one of these players that it was interesting. It was undeniable that he was smart. It was undeniable that he was a really, really good athlete and had a lot of skills. But he was still probably, in a sense, learning the quarterback position. You end up with Adam Gase. You know, Adam Gase kind of comes from this environment of, like, put a ton on the quarterback at the line of scrimmage pre-snap. And that can just bog guys down. It just slow them down in terms of how they play. And so I think that, you know, I think that there's probably been, it's been like a refreshing, like, oh, yeah, like, this is how I like to play football. This is how I like to see it. Now, I don't know if that's exactly how he would describe it, but I feel like that is a situation that I have seen, you know, throughout my time, either as a player or doing what I'm doing now, where it's like, you know, guys either get, you know, stuck in the mud with what they're doing, or they just feel like they've been completely freed to just go out and play.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN. Another aspect that's been a theme this morning, Tim, and it's really been a theme all year for the Titans, even going back the last couple of years, they seem to have done a great job of getting mileage out of the replacement level talent. The guys that they find on the practice squad or off of other teams' practice squads, the undrafted free agents. That's a remarkable trait, I think. And not every team can do that. I'm sure you've been on some teams where if it got to those guys and those guys had to make a difference, you really didn't think you were going to get much. You were hoping just to get by. But they patch holes really well with these guys.
Willie, I think I was one of those guys. and referring to the guys that you're not going to get that much out of. Yeah, I mean, I definitely was part of like a. I'm sure when people looked at the game that week, were like, are they playing like the all off the street team? I think that it is important to have a good scouting department and to have to whoever's in charge of, whether it's a position coach or whether it's somebody in the scouting department that's in charge of, you know, your undrafted free agent that you bring to camp, or somebody in your pro scouting department that is, you know, really monitoring, you know, practice squads around the league and guys that get cut and that type of stuff. And so if you do a good job of that, you're going to end up finding good players, because the league and the history of the league is littered with guys that were undrafted, guys that were, you know, cut by a couple different teams before they found a role, you know, somewhere. Look, I mean, look at Mike Vrabel. You know, Mike Vrabel was a better Patriot than a better than Steeler. He just was. And I think it's because, you know, they identified him as the type of player that they wanted. They helped develop him, find a role for him, and then his role continued to grow. So I do think they've done a nice job of that, a really nice job of that. And then I think it's kind of one of those things that ends up being not necessarily contagious, but it's, you know, you start to surround, you know, mediocre players or okay players with guys that are really playing well. Well, like, then it helps kind of, you know, raise the water level, which, you know, raises all ships. And so, you know, I do think that they've done a nice job with that. And, you know, I think you can kind of run down in each segment, whether it's in the secondary or at linebacker or on the defensive line. And then same thing when you go to the offensive side of the ball. So, yeah, I think there's a combination of factors that create that environment to work the way it has.
They have shown a lot of traits of being an extremely mentally tough team, figuring out how to win, dealing with adversity, all of that. The challenges were obvious last night. How big, comparatively, in your mind, Tim, is the challenge of having to come back and do it again on Sunday?
Yeah, that's really hard because I do know, and you can see it where, you know, guys, you know, come out of the lineup, even if it's just for a couple plays or whatever it is, the turnaround's hard. And, you know, to get ready to play, and look, I was a quarterback and, you know, primarily a backup quarterback. And so, look, I don't know what it's like to play 65 snaps on the offensive line or at linebacker and then go out to a Wednesday practice and then get ready to go play on, you know, on a Sunday. But it's difficult. So, yeah, I think that, you know, there's going to have to be flexibility in terms of how you prepare now. And Mike Vrabel is going to have to probably be creative with the schedule and how guys, you know, get treatment and get healthy and feel fresh on Sunday. And then there's just the mental component of it too, where, look, part of, you know, the benefit of a week is like, you know, you're preparing all week, you're getting that game plan, you know, you want to know it like the back of your hand. It's kind of nice to be able to be like, all right, like now I can kind of take a little bit of a breather before I have to kick that up again. You know, it's almost like being in finals where it's like test after test. So, yeah, it's a challenge, and I think how they kind of organize their week is they're going to have to be creative with it.
How big are the problems for Phillip Rivers? Do you think they can find a formula that will complement what is obviously a pretty good defense?
Yeah, my biggest thing with Phillip when they signed him is he's played a lot of football. He's played a lot of really good football. He is careless with the ball, though. I mean, and it's kind of one of these things, I think, you know, not that you become numb to it, but like in some ways, the more interceptions you throw, the more numb you become to throwing an interception or fumbling in the pocket. And I just don't think it ever makes sense to sign a guy who, you know, will turn over the ball a bunch. Like if you're going to sign a guy and then look up at the end of the year and then like, you know what, he threw 7 picks and he had 3 fumbles. Like at least he gave us a chance because he only put the ball in harm's way 10 times. But if you're going to have a guy that's going to turn the football over and, you know, make mistakes that a young guy can make, then I'm playing the young guy every time. I just, that's how I would be. And so, you know, I know there's a strong relationship there with Phillip. But I think if he continues to play the way he's playing, I think that we'll see a quarterback change before halfway through point, you know, of the season.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine here on Darren Dunick and Chase. So Derrick Henry for the Titans, only 57 yards last night. You may look at those numbers and go, okay, that's not very Derrick Henry-like on 19 carries. But from your point of view, how effective is he being in opening up the passing game more for Ryan Tannehill, specifically play action?
Yeah, the play action numbers for Tannehill, I know you guys are referencing some of the numbers in terms of, you know, his last, whatever it's been, 15 starts, 14 starts, or whatever the numbers were. Like, his play action numbers are off the charts crazy. And, you know, I think there's an element of, I guarantee you that when people are getting ready to play the Titans, you know, and the first defensive meetings you go into, it's, look, they've got a back that's built like a defensive end. Like, we've got to stop him first. They got to be priority number one. And it probably should be, you know. I mean, nobody. I've never been around a coach that's like, look, I'm fine, you know, with the team running the ball down our throat. Like, there's never been a coach, you know, on the planet that's okay with that. And so I think that's a starting point with everybody in terms of how they talk about defending the Titans. And, you know, so along with that, obviously, creates opportunities. It creates opportunities for the tight ends, for the wide receivers, and, you know, obviously the quarterback. So I would, like, if I'm a Titans fan, I'm fine. Like, if as long as, you know, Derrick Henry isn't leaving a game with, like, 9 at rush attempts, like, I think you need to be okay with it regardless of, you know, how many yards he rushes for. Because we've seen him, you know, rush for less than 60 yards and the quarterback have a great night. So I think that's probably the more important thing. And I think less ego is one of the things that helps make that sustainable.
How much are you buying into the Las Vegas Raiders right now?
I think they're really good. I think they have a good coaching staff. I think they've got talented players. I think anytime, even with no fans, that you go into Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs, I think it needs to be something people notice. And the running back is a really, really talented player. They have one of the best tight ends in the league. They've got speed at wide receiver, like a lot of speed at wide receiver. And I think a quarterback that's better than people, you know, probably have ever thought of him as. You know, Derek Carr has a lot of physical talent. And so, you know, if he's coached well and stuff, that's an hard offense to defend. And, you know, and I think defensively they've, you know, they were a team that didn't have a lot of talent. And I think they're slowly, you know, getting better on that side of the ball. And so, yeah, I think there are teams, the Bills being one of them, you know, we saw them last night. The Raiders being another one where it's like, look, there's some AFC teams that, you know, all of a sudden are hard out for anybody that they play. And, you know, maybe there's some other teams that have been kind of that team, you know, the Houston Texans or the Jacksonville Jaguars or, you know, a team like that, that they're just not anymore and they're not right now. So, yeah, I think both those teams, you know, Bills and Raiders are teams that you could easily see in the postseason.
Tim, one more. Dak Prescott, we saw the injury on Sunday to him.
Wait a second. You can't ask me one more question and have it not be about Teddy Bridgewater and how amazing he is. You can't do that.
Yeah, he got all of his Bridgewater stuff in Monday and Tuesday.
Okay. I'll shift.
You want to gloat about Bridgewater, how amazing he is?
Three in a row, Tim. Three in a row. Teddy B getting it done. We had Harry Douglas on yesterday. He said he's the best quarterback in the NFC South right now. Do you agree?
No, I don't agree. And, I didn't have to think about it long.
Here's it's like, what I'd say. No.
I generally like quarterbacks that throw touchdown passes. Okay? So, you know, he's won three in a row. Is that what you said? He's doing great. I think he's thrown 6 touchdown passes. Am I right about that? I think I'm right about that. Throwing 6, which, by the way, I think is the same as Joe Burrow. Okay, and what Russell Wilson's thrown how many at this point? Like 13?
A lot.
I don't know what he's doing. He's thrown a bunch. Well,
this isn't about Russell Wilson. So, this is about Teddy Bridgewater.
So I'm still not jumping on the bandwagon, okay? Still not jumping on the bandwagon on Teddy Bridgewater. Look, I don't think he's I'm not saying that Teddy Bridgewater should, you know, he's nothing more than a backup. That's not what I'm saying about Teddy Bridgewater. But I don't think that the Carolina Panthers are going to look up and feel about their quarterback situation the way the Tennessee Titans currently feel about their quarterback situation after signing a guy that was a starter somewhere else, and is now their starter. But listen, man, if I'm wrong about that, because Chase and I are so close, I'm okay with Chase taking victory lap after victory lap.
I And I will. And I'll save you a spot on the bandwagon. Don't worry.
And see, that's why I'm okay. Like, Darren, I'd be like, all of a sudden, I'm busy. College football schedule got real busy, and I'm not available. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe that, by the way. Tim, always a pleasure. We gotta bounce. Mike Vrabel at the bottom of the hour. So always good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this, as always.
Good to talk to you guys. See ya.
All right, Tim Hasselbeck, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue every Wednesday at noon. Mike Vrabel, next.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.